You're listening to a presentation brought to you by Mystery Play Internet Radio.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberry with no e's.com.
Notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. Personally, I've never met anybody who didn't like a good ghost story. But I know a lot of people who think there are a lot of people who don't like a good ghost story. For the benefit of these, at least, I go on record at the outset of this evening's entertainment with a sober assurance that although blood may be curdled on this program, none will be spilt. There's no shooting, knifing, throttling, axing, or poisoning here. No clanking chains, no cobwebs, no bony and or hairy hands appearing from secret panels or, better yet, bedroom curtains. If it's any part of that dear old phosphorescent foolishness that people who don't like ghost stories don't like, then again, I promise you, we haven't got it. Not tonight. What we do have is a thriller. It's half as good as we think it is. You can call it a shocker. It's already been called a real Orson Welles story. Now, frankly, I don't know what this means. I've been on the air directing and acting in my own shows for quite a while now, and I don't suppose I've done more than half a dozen thrillers in all that time. Honestly, I don't think even that many, but it seems I do have a reputation for the uncanny. Quite possibly, a little escapade of mine involving a couple of planets, which shall be nameless, is responsible. Doesn't really matter. Don't think I disapprove of thrillers. I don't. A story doesn't have to appeal to the heart. It can also appeal to the spine. Sometimes you want your heart to be warmed, and sometimes you want your spine to tingle. The tingling, it's to be hoped, will be quite audible as you listen tonight.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Kell with a brief reminder. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener-supported, so I encourage your monetary support with a donation today. Please visit www.mpir-otr.com and click on the donations page. A one-time donation of any amount will be greatly appreciated. Again, that's www.mpir-otr.com. And thank you for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio.
My story, The Man Upstairs, comes directly out of my childhood. I loved to watch my grandmother eviscerate the turkeys and chickens on the kitchen table. I was curious about all the innards that came out there. And so I stood around in the kitchen, and I watched our star boarder eat his soup and the other victuals on the table when I was 10, 11, 12. And I began to imagine what kind of man this boarder was. He was the town barber, but he seemed terribly strange. And there was nothing about his background that I truly knew. So between my grandmother and the eviscerated turkeys and this strange boarder with a funny straw hat, many years later, I sat down and wrote The Man Upstairs.
Seventeen, eighteen, nineteen, 20 knives, Grammy.
Yes. You be careful now, Douglas. Some of those are very sharp. Cut you if you touch them.
I'm always careful.
You need a good sharp knife if you're gonna cut a chicken like this.
Who taught you to do it, Grammy?
Why, my old grandma. And her grandma before her, I suppose. Why do you like to watch me so much?
I don't know. I just like to see the way you do it. It's so, so neat and nice. See, there's the heart. And the slippery, slidey liver. What are you going to stuff the chicken with today, Granny?
Oh, nothing fancy, child. Just a little seasoned bread. Now, you fetch me the salt cellar and the pepper pot now, and I'll get the needle and thread.
Can I sew it up today?
You can, if you're careful. Oh, you can thread the needle for me, too. I can't see it so well these days. Always having trouble threading needles. My arms ain't long enough. Guess that's the problem.
Oh, Grandma, let me do it.
Well, here you are, then. Now, I'll just season the stuffing. Now, you want to sew the chicken up, so you better do it right. Start here, and keep it nice and neat.
Grammy?
Mm-hmm?
Am I like that inside? Like the chicken, I mean?
I guess you are. A little more orderly and presentable, but just about the same.
Only more of it?
Yeah, a good deal more of it.
Grandpa has lots more than me. His stick's out in front so he can rest his elbows on it.
Oh, not child. You watch what you're doing with that needle.
Almost done.
Nice, neat work that. Yeah.
All finished.
Well, now go wash your hands. Wash them good and proper.
How do you know I've got insights like that, Grammy?
Oh, go away now, all these questions. You answer that for me, Douglas.
Okay, Grammy, I'm going.
Good morning, child. Is the landlady at home?
Landlady? Oh, yeah. She's my grandma, and she's busy right now.
I wish to rent her upstairs room, as advertised in the shop down the street there.
We've got 10 boarders, and it's rented already. You'd better go away now.
Douglas! What are you saying? That's all nonsense. How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
Never you mind this child. I don't know what's got into him. Of course there's a room. Come in now, do.
Thank you.
I think we can suit you just fine. If you follow me, I'll show you the room. It's quite private and quiet.
Then I think it will suit me very well. Very well indeed.
Sheets, pillowcases, towels. Now, Douglas, up you go and take these to Mr. Kobelman's room. You tell him I'll make up his bed later.
Do I have to, Grammy?
Of course you have to. What's got into you, Douglas? You're usually so helpful.
Nothing's got into me. I just don't like him.
And who are you to like or dislike our lodgers? Off you go now, Douglas, and don't let me hear that talk again.
Did you want something, boy?
Here are your sheets and towels. I'm to tell you we eat at noon sharp, and if you're late coming down, the soup will get cold. Grandma fixes it so it will, every time.
Well, I'll be on time, then. Here. 10 copper pennies. Brand new.
Gee, thanks.
We shall be friends, you and I.
I'll drop these in my dime bank, when I get them changed into a dime. I got $6.50 in dimes, all ready for my camp trip in August.
I must wash now. You better go.
Yeah, I think Grandma wants me. I better go.
Mrs. Spaulding.
Yes, Mr. Kobelman?
I have my own cutlery. Here, please use it in future.
Why, you don't need
it. Yes, I am afraid I do. A wooden spoon, knife, and fork. I cannot use silver. I have an allergy.
That's a pity.
No matter. And I will have lunch today, but from tomorrow onwards, only breakfast and supper, please.
But lunch is the best meal of the day.
Nevertheless, I cannot eat lunch. I must sleep in the day. I work at nights.
Oh, well, just as you please. Douglas, must you rattle your silverware like that?
I'm only playing, Grandma. I know a trick. Watch me, Mr. Copeland. Mm-hmm. You just pick at the fork tine like this and point it, and hey presto.
Now, here's dessert. Now, help yourself, Mr. Koberman. Douglas, what are you up to, child?
Making magic. You press it on the table, see? And point it, and it makes a noise like musical dessert.
What on earth is wrong, Mr. Koberman? Don't you like my pumpkin pie?
I cannot eat it.
Why? Well, what's wrong with it?
There is nothing wrong with it, but I am full and can eat no more. Thank you. I must go now.
Well, I'll be... What did you do to him just then, Douglas?
Nothing. I was just playing with the silverware, Grandma.
Well, stop it. It's plain he doesn't like it.
Don't know why.
The way he was glaring at you.
I know. I don't like him, and he doesn't like me.
That's nonsense.
Grandma, why does he eat with wooden spoons?
Yours not to question why, Douglas. You heard the man. He has an allergy.
Huh.
When do you go back to school anyway, child?
7 more weeks.
Oh, my land. Well, just you keep out of his way and everything will be fine.
Mr. Koberman! Mr. Koberman! Mr. Koberman!
Douglas! Douglas, just what do you think you're doing?
Grandma, I didn't hear you.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Didn't I tell you to be quiet? Mr. Koberman works nights and sleeps all day. And if he isn't awake by now,
he isn't.
He must be.
It doesn't matter what I do, Grandma. It doesn't matter what noise I make or how many times I flush the toilet.
Douglas, what have you been up to?
But it doesn't. He never wakes up. Never complains. You listen now. There's no sound from his room. No sound at all.
Well, that's a mercy. No, he's still sleeping. He must be deaf, that's all I can say.
I don't like him, Grandma. I don't like what he does to the room.
Child, he's done nothing to the room.
I liked it best when Miss Sadlow lived there.
But she's gone. And he's a darn sight neater than Miss Sadlow ever was. A place for everything and everything in its place.
And another thing.
What's that? You come help me unpack my shopping now.
You know the colored glass window on the landing?
Yes, I know it well, Douglas.
I like to look through it.
I know you do.
It turns the whole world different colors. You can see blue people, blue streetcars, and blue trotting dogs.
What an imagination you have. Here, put this in the cupboard before you drop it.
All right. Anyway, Grammy, I was looking out that window this morning, and I saw Mr. Koberman coming back from his night's work. And I saw him through the red glass, and...
And what?
Well, I guess it sounds crazy, but he looked kind of strange.
How strange?
Oh, just strange. I don't know. Just strange. There he is. And it does things to him. His clothes seem to melt away. His skin, too. You might almost think that you could see inside Mr. Koberman. Oh, Lord. He's seen me. He's seen me watching him. And he's coming in. He's coming in.
Young man, what are you doing?
Just looking out the window.
That's all, is it?
Yes, sir. I look through all the different colored glasses. And I can see all kinds of worlds. Blue ones, red ones, yellow ones, all different.
All kinds of worlds, is it? Yes. All kinds of worlds. You go right ahead then, Douglas. I must sleep now. I must go sleep.
And then he went right into his room and slammed the door.
He's tired. He works nights. He sleeps soundly, that's all.
Do you think so?
Sure, I think so. Now you run on out and play in the sandbox until supper time.
What was that?
Douglas, you come here right now.
What's wrong, Grandma?
Douglas, I told you time and time again never to fling your basketball against the house.
But I didn't.
Oh, I could just cry. We'll never replace that window. Never.
But I didn't. I've been sitting right here all the time, playing in the sand.
You come see what you've done, you nasty boy. You just come and see. Look at that! Smashed all to pieces!
But, Grandma, I didn't do it.
Didn't you lie to me? Whose basketball is that, then? Hmm? Whose is it? Don't tell me it's Mr. Koberman's.
It's mine, but...
Don't you ever do anything like that again.
I didn't. Do it.
And don't you tell great big lies either. Now you go to your room, and there'll be no supper for you tonight. I'll fetch my broom and Sweep up the glass.
It was him. He did it. I hate him. And he hates me. I'll get back at him. Just wait. I've saved the colored glass. He doesn't like it, so I'll keep it. I'll hang on to it. And then we'll see.
Grandpa. Hi, Grandpa.
Well, hello there, you.
Grandma cut chickens again today. It's fun watching.
Aye, that's twice this week. She's the chickenest little woman. You like to watch her cut 'em, don't you? Cold-blooded little Pepper.
I'm just curious.
Oh, you are. Remember when that young lady was killed at the rail station? You just walked over and looked at her, blood and all.
I wasn't frightened. There's worse things than a little blood.
You're a queer duck. I guess you got it from your father, him being a military man and all, and you were so close to him before you came here to live.
Gramps?
Yeah?
What if a man didn't have a heart or lungs or a stomach, but still walked around alive?
Oh, that would be a miracle.
I don't mean a miracle. I mean, what if he was all different inside? Not like me or you.
Well, he wouldn't be quite human then, would he, boy?
Guess not, Gramps. Gramps, you got a heart and lungs.
Well, tell the truth, I don't know. Ain't never seen him. Never had an X-ray. Never been to a doctor in my life, come to that. Might well be potato solid, for all I know.
Have I got a stomach?
You certainly have got a stomach, because I have to feed it. And you've lungs. You scream loud enough to wake the crumblies. And you've got dirty hands. Go wash 'em. Dinner's ready, Grandpa. Come on. Douglas, get...
Yeah. That young Miss Larson lived over the ravine now. Says here they found her dead 3 days ago for no reason. Just funny kind of tattoos all over her. And a facial expression that would make Dante cringe.
Hush now, you'll frighten the boy.
Not him. And that other young lady, what was her name, Whiteley? She disappeared and never did come back.
Them things happen all the time. Can't tell what happens to most of them. Anyone want more dressing?
Oh, I don't know. A lot of sudden deaths hereabouts the last few weeks. Remember a week ago, Marion Bersumian died of heart failure.
Well, maybe that doesn't connect up at all. I'd forget it if I were you. Otherwise, Douglas will get ideas.
I'm not scared, Grandma.
Well, let's not talk about it at the dinner table, hmm?
Never can tell. Maybe we got a vampire in town.
A vampire? Oh, go on with you. More sauce, Mr. Coberman?
No, thank you. I have quite enough here.
How would you get rid of a vampire, Granddad? If there was one.
Oh, reckon we'd have to kill him with a silver bullet. Anything silver, for that matter. Vampires sure hate silver.
How do you know?
Read in the book once. I'll take some more of that very fine chicken, please.
Do you really think there are such things, Grandpa?
Well, now, we don't rightly know what a hobgoblin or a vampire or a troll is. Could be lots of things.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean you can't just heave them into categories with labels and say they'll act one way or another. That'd be silly. They're people. People who do things. Yeah, that's the way to look at it. People who do things.
Mr. Coberman! Mr. Coberman! Wake up, Mr. Coberman! They've all gone out. Just you and me, Mr. Coberman. So wake up, why don't you?
No answer. Just silence. You'll never wake up. Never. Which means that I could. Am I brave enough? Sure I am. Just like Grandpa said. Now, what do I need? Silver. A silver fork. And the colored glass, just to be sure. And the passkey. Grandma's passkey. Now we'll see. There he is. Hardly moving at all. Hardly breathing. Hello, Mr. Coberman! Hello! Mr. Coberman! Hello! Mr. Coberman! Wake up now! Wake up! Fire! Nothing. Where's the fork? Now we'll see. If I just prod his cheek with it... It hurts him, all right. But he still doesn't wake up. Maybe he can't wake up. Let me look at him through the glass. Blue furniture. Blue bed. And the blue bureau. And Mr. Copeman's blue face and arms and... Oh, his eyes! His eyes are open! And now they're shut. Take the glass away and they're shut. Blue glass, open! Take it away, shut. Open, shut. So what about the rest of him? Wow! I can look right inside him. Right through the wall of his stomach and inside him. Like an X-ray. Except it's just blue glass. What's it like in there? Let me get closer. Golly. Mr. Copeman is... solid. Well, nearly solid. But there are strange shapes inside him. And now when I look through the red, I see one thing. When I look through the blue, I see another. And the yellow world, why, that's different again. And the blue world, the red world, and the yellow world, all living side by side. Together. In Mr. Coberman. So that was why the colored window got broken. He did it. He would have to do it. In case we found him out. Mr. Coberman! Wake up! Mr. Coberman, where do you work at nights? In a red world? Or a green world? Or a yellow one, Mr. Coberman? And what do you do there, hmm? No answer. He can't move. Wait there, Mr. Coberman. There's something else I gotta fetch. Something out of Grandma's kitchen. Something nice and sharp. The biggest, sharpest... Just you wait there, Mr. Coberman. Don't you move now.
La, la, la.
Grandma, what's this?
I don't know. What is it?
Looks like a box, doesn't it? A bright orange square with elastic. Wonder what these funny blue tubes are for.
Douglas, will you take that out of here while I'm baking it? Smells darn funny wherever you got it.
Ever seen anything like it before, Grandma?
No, I can't rightly say I have.
That's what I thought.
Will you take it off the table?
I'll leave it here, in this bucket. Maybe I better put it in some water. That way it won't smell so bad.
All right. Now scoot.
Grandma?
What now?
How about this then? Bright pink chain with a purple triangle at one end.
What is that terrible smell, child? Will you go away and don't bother me? Just... an old chain. You been fishing in the stream again?
No. Back in a minute.
Where are you getting all this stuff, child?
A ring, a square, a triangle, a pyramid, a rectangle, and a lot of other shapes.
Looks as if they're made of some kind of gelatin to me. Now, where did I put the pastry brush?
You know, you were wrong, Grandma.
Wrong about what?
About all people being the same inside. They're not, you know.
Will you stop talking nonsense? What's got into you today?
That reminds me. Where's my dime bag?
On the mantel where you left it.
Thanks. There's something else I've just got to do. Reckon I'd better do it before dark.
Grandpa! Grandpa, I've got something to show you. Come on, come with me.
No, hold your horses, Douglas, and let me get in the door.
No, you have to hurry. Come on, upstairs.
Well, sure, son, but why?
You'll see. I've got something to show you. It's not nice, but it sure is interesting.
Oh, is it?
Grandma must know about this. She wouldn't like it.
Here, but, this is Coberman's room, isn't it?
It was Coberman's room.
What do you mean, was, Douglas? What have you been up to?
I told you Grandma wouldn't like it. There. See for yourself.
Mr. Coberman? Oh, my God! Mr. Coberman!
Will somebody please tell me what's going on up there? What's happened to Mr. Coberman? And why is the coroner here? Why is he in my kitchen? Will somebody tell me what's happening?
We'll have to take Douglas away on a long vacation after this, so he can forget the whole ghastly affair.
But I'm all right, Grandpa.
What affair? What has happened up there? And why are they in my kitchen now? Why are they looking at all the rubbish that Douglas brought in? Said he had been fishing.
Well, I suppose he had, in a way. I suppose he had.
I never said I was fishing, Grandma. I never said that. It was you who said that.
I don't understand.
Oh, it's ghastly. Just ghastly.
But why should it be bad? I don't see anything bad. I don't feel bad.
No, and neither you should, Douglas. I figure you've done us all a good turn. Shh, it's the coroner. Is he dead, sir?
Oh, Coberman's dead, all right. Did you see those things in the pans of water, Mr. Spalding? Did you see them?
No, he didn't, Pat, but I did. They smell just terrible.
Listen. This had better be kept a secret. It wasn't murder. Do you hear me now?
Murder? Well, what do you mean, murder? Did somebody kill Mr. Coberman?
Hush, Mrs. Spalding. No question of murder. In fact, it was a mercy the boy acted as he did. God knows what might have happened if he hadn't.
So, was Coberman a vampire? A monster?
Just what are you talking about?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Something not human. Douglas, answer me one thing. When you took all that stuff out of Coberman, was he still alive?
Oh, yeah. He was moving about and mumbling. But he couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. Once he was asleep like that, he couldn't walk about till after dark. I knew that.
All those pyramids and chains and triangles, and he kept on living.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Oh, my God. Douglas, you mean to say that you...
Just like a chicken, Grandma. But I knew he was still alive, after a fashion.
So what did kill him, Douglas? What finished him off? What did you do?
Yeah, what did you do, Douglas? He sure as hell is dead as a dodo now.
Why, Grandpa? I did what Grandma does to the chickens. I stuffed him and sewed him up, nice and neat, just like she showed me.
But what did you stuff him with?
My savings.
Your savings?
Yeah. He hated silver, see? So that's what's in him. $6.60 worth of silver dimes right inside Mr. Coberman's chest. That finished him off all right.
Well, I'll be. Good job he watched his old grandma. You know, I never liked that man. I never did.
He wasn't a good man, Grandma. In fact, I began to wonder if he was a real man at all.
Well, I reckon the county will just have to reimburse you, young Douglas.
Gee, that's all right. I don't mind.
No. It's only fair. The county will pay you back with interest. After all, you've done us a favor. I think you made a wise investment, Douglas. A very wise investment indeed.
In The Man Upstairs, the first of my new series of Tales of the Bizarre, Douglas was played by a talented young man named Jeffrey Lee. Mary Riggins played Grandma, and Koberman was played by Finley Welsh. Charles Kearney played Grandpa. Other parts were played by members of the cast. My story was dramatized by Catherine Sierkowska, and the play was directed in Edinburgh by Hamish Wilson. My name is Ray Bradbury. Next week's bizarre tale involves another strange young boy and the even stranger world in which he lives. Jack in the Box is the name of the story. I hope you'll join me then. Good night.